You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Latino USA with a focus this week on the presidential campaign, including the Latino identity of Ted Cruz, why there's a generation gap among Latinos when it comes to voting, and a report on Hillary Clinton's relationship with the coup in Honduras. First, if you have trouble sleeping, you might just suffer through it or reach for the sleeping pills. But today, the American College of Physicians released new guidelines for chronic insomnia. Now they're recommending cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia as a first-line treatment. That means doctors, in these recommendations anyway, would prescribe cognitive therapy before they write a prescription for a sleeping pill. Just one problem, according to our next guest. It's easy to fill that prescription for pills, not so easy to get access to therapy or get insurance to pay for it. Dr. Roger Cathal joins us now to talk about cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia and other conditions. He just wrote an editorial that accompanies the new guidelines about the challenges of implementing them. He's an adjunct professor in psychiatry at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Cathal, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much, Rob.
So cognitive behavioral therapy in the news today, what is it? How does it work?
So it's a form of cognitive and behavioral learning process that allows people that have chronic insomnia to identify the things that create the problem and to then systematically utilize techniques to overcome the problem.
And we're hearing about it today because of insomnia. It's not used, this process of cognitive behavioral therapy isn't just for insomnia. What all conditions are people using it for?
Cognitive behavioral therapy is really used for a wide variety of psychiatric conditions, including depression, anxiety, various kinds of personality disorders, and many other very specific things that people are having difficulty with.
A lot of people might hear the word therapy and think you're on the couch and you're talking about your dreams or looking at ink blots, things like that. This, as I understand it, this is pretty different. What makes it different from what we usually think of as psychiatric therapy?
Okay, the old therapies where you think about couches and et cetera are reflective therapies, sort of what I call there-and-then therapies, whereas cognitive behavioral is a here-and-now. It's identifying difficulties a person is having in their lives and then helping them to identify the things that are contributing to it and develop skills that will help them to overcome the problem. So cognitive behavioral therapy typically is time limited. It's forward thinking. It's not backward thinking. And it really has solid evidence in many conditions of value to people that have various kinds of mental health and substance use conditions.
Right, it has value, and in this case for sleep, maybe more value than medications or more value when used in addition to medications. This stuff, in some cases, might lead to less need for medications. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. This allows a person to not just treat a symptom, but to treat the cause of the problem that they're having, in this case, insomnia. And so it defines the underlying behaviors and sort of the thought processes that are contributing to it, helps a person to understand those, develop skills to overcome those, and then in the long term, they can, people that use this approach to treatment of insomnia can come back to it, reinitiate the things that they learned if they have difficulty, and not have to go back to or start medication.
Talking to Dr. Roger Cathal from the University of Minnesota, new recommendations out from a national physicians group saying for chronic insomnia, docs, try cognitive behavioral therapy first before prescribing sleeping pills. So, Dr. Cathal, this sounds great, but as you and your colleague write in an editorial, it's not really that easy, is it? First of all, some doctors don't even think insomnia is a health problem. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Doctors are so busy today that they tend to overlook some things that really contribute to difficulties with other parts of their lives. And in fact, insomnia can be a contributor to poor outcomes for chronic other medical conditions, such as heart disease or kidney disease or lung disease. And so identifying and effectively treating insomnia is an important thing, and doctors really just need to become more aware that this is an area that is important in people's lives.
That's one hurdle you point out. Another is that if you're talking to a medical doctor, your family practice doctor, say, they may either not think that a psychological intervention is valid or have experience with it. How big a problem is that?
Well, unfortunately, we live in a medical world in which mental health and substance use disorder conditions are treated in a completely segregated compartment within medical practice. And so family practitioners, general internists, and other medical doctors don't have a lot of interaction with mental health professionals, and they therefore don't keep up with the literature showing that there are now effective treatments, psychological treatments for many conditions that really should be considered as first line. There have been many years in which mental health conditions have been more difficult to effectively control. In the past 20 to 30 years, major advances have been made in mental health and substance use treatment, and we now have effective treatments that now has to spread to the rest of the medical community so that they understand that it's available, it's worthwhile using, and in fact, in this case, should be used as a first-line care form of treatment.
So let's say I have chronic insomnia, and hey, I'm lucky, I've got a doctor who recognizes that it's a health problem, who knows about cognitive behavioral therapy, says, yep, Rob, that's what you need. Can I get it? Is it out there? Is it accessible?
Okay, so now this is the other problem that we have. Since behavioral health practitioners practice in a separate segment of the medical setting, it's difficult to get the people that have insomnia to the people that do the therapy because they typically don't practice in the medical setting where people are usually seen. And so the solution to that is to bring the therapist into the medical setting, which is would be the ideal thing, but the payers for behavioral health services do not pay for behavioral health practitioners in the medical setting. Therefore, you have to do what I call economic or payment workarounds in order to get access to the professionals that actually do this. There is more recently a large group of cognitive behavioral apps that people can access, and there are now a significant number of studies that demonstrate that these electronic sort of systematic processes that go through the behavioral learning that a therapist would do can be almost as effective, not quite as effective as a therapist, but it's an alternative that doctors and patients can go to if, in fact, there are no therapists available in their particular location to get this form of treatment.
I want to bring on a caller on that point, actually, at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Madison. Dave, hi.
Yeah, hey. I'm a PA in family practice and actually just was going to bring up exactly what your guest just brought up. And I was alerted to an app actually from a family doc in Canada. Dr. Mike Evans has a great health website called Sleepio. It's a site that basically helps patients tune into the number of the factors that may be associated with their inability to fall asleep and or stay asleep. And then it is a paying app, but I always kind of couch it to my patients as, you know, if you're going to pay for therapy or go to sessions, that this may be well worth your money, and the risks are really minimal in terms of cost, and that the benefits may be great and lifelong, because I tend to tell my patients that sleep is really a skill that is really important for a healthy living, and so I think of it as one of the most important things I actually talk about in my practice.
Dave, thanks a lot for your call and bringing all that up. Dr. Cathal, a lot there, and it sounded like you were saying an app better than nothing, but still probably not as good as actually working one-on-one with a therapist.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the biggest and most important and challenging things is that people that have insomnia tend to get into habits that perpetuate the insomnia, and changing those habits is not easy. And so having a person rather than an app helped them through it. Now, doctors like Dave will be a great asset to patients that choose to use an app, because he, in his practice, sounds like he understands the importance of treatment of insomnia and can support the person through doing the cognitive behavioral therapy. It is not an easy process. It is something that you have to learn, so it's not like sprinkling pixie dust and it, you know, it all goes away. There's a process that takes a little bit of time, over 4 to 6 weeks, to improve the process or the sleep. But once that that learning has taken place and the improvement has occurred, then it is something that people can go back to for long periods of time. And in fact, the follow-up studies show that those that use cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia actually have a good long-term outcomes, because they can always go back to the things that they learned if they start having some difficulty again.
We're talking to Dr. Roger Kathol from the University of Minnesota about the news that cognitive behavioral therapy is now the first line of treatment for chronic insomnia, not sleeping pills. He says it's a good idea, but it can be hard for patients to get access to that kind of treatment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia or something else? Would you ever try this kind of treatment? Do you think it's difficult to find people who can do this? And if you're a healthcare provider, is this something you're encountering more and more at your practice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Dr. Roger Kathol about new guidelines from the American College of Physicians. They now recommend for people with chronic insomnia, cognitive behavioral therapy as the first line treatment instead of sleeping pills. But he says there's not enough awareness often among physicians, access to care or insurance coverage for that kind of therapy. You can join in with your thoughts, experiences, and questions at 800-642-1234 if you've encountered cognitive behavioral therapy as a patient or a practitioner. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go back to our callers now with Mike on the line in West Bend. Mike, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think, Mike?
Good. I went to cognitive behavioral therapy for obsessive compulsive disorder, and I did a 6-week program, and it totally changed my life. I was on medications after medications, and nothing would work. You know, I did have insomnia, and the best therapy was going through mental hierarchy and taking each problem and dealing with it.
And Mike, was this, you know, in a way you're learning a set of mental skills that you're getting trained in over that 6 weeks?
Right, exactly. It's basically a rewiring of your brain by, you know, I did hierarchies of things that would make me, you know, anxious, I'd obsess about, and we'd build stories, we'd build, you know, things to deal with that and sit with the anxiety or sit with the problems, and then repeat until I was able to deal with it myself without any medication.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call. Dr. Kathol, Mike used the phrase rewiring his brain. Is that in effect what you're doing? You're changing behaviors and thought processes and eventually changing the way your brain is working a little bit?
Well, it certainly is. I mean, Mike's is a good example of just one of the many mental health conditions in which cognitive behavioral therapy is effective. We're still doing research on the actual mechanism through which cognitive behavioral therapy works. It probably is a combination of neurochemical and also behavioral and learning processes that kick in as somebody systematically goes through the causes of the difficulties a person is having, and then identifies and initiates new behaviors and sort of rewires those new behaviors into their lifestyle so that they can overcome the difficulties that were previously happening. So rewiring is not a bad term.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call, and we'll go next to Joe in Slinger. Joe, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Joe? Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Joe, what did you want to tell us about?
Oh, I'm a psychotherapist, and I want people to know and understand that they can have access to cognitive behavioral therapy that one of the best things that they can do, because any of us who have had that training need to report that to the insurance companies that we serve. So if you would call your insurance company and say, I would like to see someone who could do cognitive behavioral therapy with me, they have a list of people in the area that who could be helpful to them and can give them referrals.
Joe, thanks a lot for that call. So Dr. Cathal, Joe is saying the practitioners are out there, but do insurance companies generally cover this for patients?
Yeah, well, the behavioral health insurance companies cover it. Clearly, but not everybody has good behavioral health insurance. And the other thing is that most of the behavioral health insurance companies require that the therapist practice in standalone settings, which is really not where patients show up. So the ideal situation would be for the therapist to be able to practice in the in the insomnia clinic or a medical clinic or what have you, where really 75% of people that have mental health issues choose to seek care and in fact avoid going to the mental health setting. So I absolutely agree. Call the insurance companies, encourage them to pay for it. In many settings, they still won't. But if there is a groundswell of activity, getting therapy on the list of things that are supported, particularly cognitive behavioral therapy, then I think that we're going to make progress.
Thanks for that call, Joe. We're talking to Dr. Roger Cathal from the University of Minnesota. New guidelines from the American College of Physicians recommending cognitive behavioral therapy for treatment of insomnia. Dr. Cathal says it's a good treatment for a lot of conditions. Access to it, doctors' awareness of it, not always there, though. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Barry is with us in Madison. Barry, hi.
Yes, hello. I have a question. How does cognitive behavior therapy work for PTSD? And because I have it when I step on things, and result is angerness, madness, because of I flash back 35, 40 years ago when I stepped on a dead rat once, coming back from work.
Wow. Well, Barry, I'm so sorry about that, and good luck to you. And I want to ask you, obviously we can't diagnose Barry's condition on the radio, Dr. Cathal, but in general, post-traumatic stress disorder, is that something that cognitive behavioral therapy has worked with success?
Yeah, it's one of the conditions in which cognitive behavioral therapy is in common use. And for individuals, depending upon the underlying issues, it can be very helpful to them. Again, I mean, your point for Barry is that over the phone is difficult to get into the kind of things that are contributing to the difficulties. But once you've identified the things that are contributing, then you can start learning behaviors that would counter the negative things that lead to poor outcomes.
Barry, good luck to you. And Dr. Cathal, before we run out of time, I want to get into one more point that came out of your editorial on all of this. Cognitive behavioral therapy, it's not a quick fix necessarily. It's not I write a prescription for a pill, I take a pill. Do doctors, patients, insurance companies have the patience to prioritize something like this?
Yeah, you know, obviously, the easier thing is just to prescribe a sleeping pill and let it go at that. And for short-term intermittent sleep difficulties, that's okay. But when you get into chronic insomnia where you have up to 3 days a week for a long period of time, such as a month, that a person is having difficulty with insomnia, then clearly cognitive behavioral therapy is the way to go. And it would be rightly the first-line treatment. The sleep specialist organization and sleep specialists have for a long time identified cognitive behavioral therapy as a first-line treatment for chronic insomnia. And so there's tremendous literature supporting it. You know, that's something that we need to start thinking about as an initial treatment rather than getting into medications which have many more side effects and potentially adverse reactions, and of course, long-term costs if you get involved with those.
Dr. Cathal, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Roger Cathal, adjunct professor in psychiatry at the University of Minnesota. He co-authored an editorial on new guidelines from the American College of Physicians, who are now recommending cognitive behavioral therapy as the first line of treatment for chronic insomnia instead of sleeping pills.